Well, good morning. It's Thursday, September 10th. You have tuned in for the morning show. Make no mistake. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson. Lonesome Jack here in the studio this morning. We are, first of all, I'm without Jim Healy this morning, who's unfortunately feeling a little bit under the weather. So Jim's out, and as of this moment, we have no guest in the studio either. So Lonesome Jack. Not to worry. We do have somebody coming in to join us a little bit later on. I believe our own Scott McLongstreet is joining us, but he'll be talking a little bit about what's going on at the Panada Theater. And then also to speak a bit about what's going on at the Panada Theater, we'll hopefully be talking to a representative of North Idaho Habitat for Humanity, which has a fundraiser coming up, a concert with renowned pianist Jim Isaac Chua. And we can certainly play a little bit of his music, if nothing else. Let's see. It's also it's a big week and a big weekend coming up. We're just after Labor Day weekend as well, a late Labor Day weekend. And I want to play a little music for you as I grab my cup of coffee and gather my thoughts here and make our way through this hour with the Library of Otto's Eclectic Mix to join us. It is back to school week here in North Idaho. Today is the first day of kindergarten in the Lake Ponderay School District. Hello to all you kindergartners. Well, actually, the kindergartners will just be starting their day, won't they? So they can't hear me. Hello to you kindergarten parents on your way to wherever you're going next. And hopefully the drop-off went well for everybody. I'm sure it did. It's a big day. And it's a big week, as I said. It's back to school week in the Lake Ponderay School District. We'll play a little something by D. Clark here to commemorate that. And we'll be talking, as I said, about what's going on over at the Panada Theater this weekend, as well as what else is coming up in town as the hour goes on. All right, let's go grab ourselves a nice caffeinated warm beverage, and I'll meet you back here in 2.5 minutes after we hear this one from D. Clark.
Vacation is over,
and I'm going back to school.
You can quit if you wanna,
but I'm going back to school.
You know I miss that old long-nosed teacher of mine.
I'm going back to school.
I'm gonna get me a diploma.
D. Clark on the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. And let's talk a little bit about what's coming up in town as we wait to be joined here in the studio by some illustrious personage. Coming up this weekend, starting tomorrow, in fact, Lake Ponderay Reps' The Lady with All the Answers is on stage at The Hive. This is a one-woman show. A one-woman show. It has Kate McAllister, our local legendary performer, playing advice columnist Ann Landers. It takes place over the course of one evening in 1975, although with flashbacks and reminiscences to earlier parts of her career. Actually, we talked to Kate about this when we were at the county fair. She's looking forward to it. She has performed this role before. I don't remember how many years ago, but it's been quite a while, and she's kind of returning to the stage for an encore performance here September 11th, 12th, and 13th at The Hive. Now, coming up this weekend, on Saturday, it's the Sand Creek Regatta. Yes, perhaps you've heard of it. I'm opening right now my copy of this week's my copy of this week's Sandpoint Reader, where I believe there is going to be, if I turn enough pages, I'm going to find a an article about the Sand Creek Regatta. No, maybe not. Not quite. Okay, well, the Sand Creek Regatta is an event that began in its original form in, I believe, the 1980s. It was a hosted by like local businesses, I believe, but it fell into it fell out of competition for decades until being revived, I think, just within this past decade. It is a handmade boat race that takes place on Sand Creek, as you might have guessed, in between Bridge Street, which is the bridge going over to Sandpoint City Beach, and then the Cedar Street Bridge, of course, the public market. But the race is on boats in between those two. You can stand in either of those two places or along the shore. A lot of people stand and observe from the boardwalk. The race features, yes, completely handmade boats. You cannot race a boat that is actually a boat. You can only race boats that are made of things that are not boats. If you're interested in competing or in just observing the contest, you meet at the parking lot on Bridge Street just before you go to City Beach at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And then at 11 a.m. is the race. Homemade boats engage in a no-holds-barred winner-take-all aquatic contest beginning at 11 o'clock a.m. from, I believe the course is from Bridge Street to the Cedar Street Bridge, turn around back to the Bridge Street Bridge. There is then an awarded, I think there's a trophy. And then there's an after party at 12 o'clock noon. Let's see. If that's what you're interested in, or if that's something you're interested in and you want to be downtown doing something else as well, you can come to the Sandpoint Area Seniors Inc. Art Alive event at the Panada Theater. That's on Saturday, September 12th. It starts at 5:30 p.m. and goes till 7:30 p.m. At least that's the first portion of the evening. Live painting. Ooh, boy. Janine Ash, Blair Harper, Carol Kovalchuk, Susie Snyder, Penny Otley, Randy Wilhelm, and Marcina Runge will all be painting, and you can observe their process for 2 hours, which should be interesting. And then after that, there's a live auction starting at 7:45 p.m., and guests can bid on the newly created works before the event concludes at 8:15. All proceeds from this event directly support Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated and their programs for local seniors. Tickets are $75 at the door, or you can find them online at panada.org. And then, let's see, this weekend, of course, is the Farmers Market on Saturday, September 12th. And then on the 13th in Farm and Park, in that same venue that usually hosts the Farmers Market, is a neighborhood wellness fest. You might have heard about this on yesterday's morning show. Holistic-minded wellness practitioners are gathering to celebrate wellness in the park. Free classes. There will be music. I don't see the name of the band, but there's going to be some music playing. There will be prizes. Food will be available, and kids are welcome at this event as well. Let's see. There's a lot more going on in our community this weekend, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it after we listen to a little bit more music. And as I said before, Scott McLongstreet coming in a bit to tell us what's going on at the Panetta Theater this weekend and in coming weekends. And I'm going to play a little musical history lesson here, or a little flashback. It was on this date in 1966, which is, let's do the math here, 60 years ago, that the Beatles hit number one, not for the first time, of course, but their groundbreaking album Revolver hit number one on the pop charts, where it remained for the subsequent 9 weeks. So it was 60 years ago today that you would have heard this one. It features some, well, it's, I would say all the songs on this album are pretty legendary. You could go from Taxman to Eleanor Rigby to this set of three that closes out the album. We're going to play three from the Beatles album Revolver, all three of them pretty short songs, as so many of the Beatles songs were up until 1966. We're going to start with I Want to Tell You, and then play just the closing section of the album Revolver from 66, which hit number one on the pop charts in this country on this date, 60 years ago. Here we go with the Beatles on 88.5 KRFY. The Beatles out of Liverpool with Tomorrow Never Knows. Before that, The Beatles with Got to Get You Into My Life. And before that, The Beatles with I Want to Tell You. All three of those songs from the album Revolver, which was released on August 9th in 1966, 60 years ago. I'm sorry, it was released on August 5th, but it was on or around this week that it actually hit number one on the pop charts. And I'm Jack Peterson. You're listening to The Morning Show, joined now by Scott McLongstreet. You'll recognize his voice from the Radio Flyer show that you hear on Sunday afternoons, on the mornings and afternoons on this very station. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, things started. I'm lonely. That's right. Things started off a little bit, not quite as planned, but much better now that you're here. Thanks for coming down.
Well, it was nice hearing the Beatles on the way down.
Yeah, you know, when you're alone in the studio, sometimes you get to play three songs by the Beatles. You look like a guy who was around in 1966. Do you remember when Revolver came out?
Yeah, it was 1966.
Okay.
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember. We were starting to get into the Beatles then, and that's when they started getting more psychedelic.
They changed a little bit. They stopped sounding like, they stopped sounding like other bands, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and they had a different look. They were definitely getting into the whole hippie, psychedelic, alternative life thing. And, yeah, good times.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, that was a big one. That was, and Rubber Soul, the one before that, and then Revolver kind of marked their transition from the early Beatles to the late Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. Followed up, Sergeant Pepper came shortly after that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, crazy, man. A couple interesting things about that song is, or those songs are that, of course, it involved the most usage of kind of the studio and not live, just instrumental equipment that the Beatles had experimented with up to that point. Also, I Want to Tell You is one of those early songs written by George Harrison. Not his very first song written for the group, but this was as Lennon and McCartney started to let old George make an appearance or two on the records.
That was nice of him. Yeah,
he looked,
You see a lot of the footage now of the Beatles, and you can tell he was frustrated. I think it's isn't that where the first song where he used a sitar was?
I
believe so.
Bet you it was. Yeah, yeah, I would think it was on either "Love You Too" or one of the later songs on that album. Anyway, would be my guess. Or else earlier in 1965 on Rubber Soul, there might have been something. Those guys got around in
they
the
did.
60s. Okay, Scott, let's see. Oh, okay. Oh. I was almost, this is going to, you know, so much of our strategy depended on the element of surprise. But for those of you listening right now, I'm going to spoil the surprise and let you know that KRFY, this radio station, is planning to compete in the Sand Creek Regatta.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I just last night, I had little to do. I was not on the on the Aquatic Vehicles Committee this year, but I am going to be on the float, and I was needed for ballast to test out and see if it floats. So we were checking certain dimensions. And
my goodness. Did you actually get on the water with this?
Last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yesterday afternoon. That's right.
How'd that go?
I did not get that wet. We didn't tip over or anything like that. It worked. It went pretty well.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations. Mm-hmm. We'll be down there cheering you on.
Oh, really?
I'd love to.
You know, there's probably two or three more spots on the craft itself if you want
to. You know, I'd love to join you, except for my aversion to water.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't float very well, so.
Okay. Well, we'll find another couple of DJs maybe to clamber aboard. We can always use more paddlers.
I'll take some pictures for you.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey.
Let's see. You are not just a DJ on Sunday afternoons. You're much, much more than that. A well-rounded individual and a man about town. And
am I?
I would say so. And one of your many activities is over at the Panada Theater. You are you're on the...
I'm on the cleaning crew.
The cleaning crew. Mm-hmm.
That's how I started there. I joined Jim. Well, Jim Healy was instrumental in starting that. And I joined the cleaning crew, and we have a crew of nine. We were total strangers, and then we turned into good friends. And we just love coming in and cleaning the theater, which says something about us. I'm not sure quite what. But we're, we do it after just about every show, and we get it sparkling clean. And it's been a good time, and I've learned a lot about the theater doing that and just then worked my way into other things there.
Does the cleaning crew go literally after, like in the evening after
No, we
show?
Come in the morning after.
There you go.
We come in and... Mm-hmm. We clean, obviously, we do the popcorn and the trash, we do the recycling, we sort out all the aluminum cans, and those go to this lady who picks those up and gets money to help with her granddaughter's college and also donate to the food bank. And that a lot of money has been raised doing that. And then we blow out the theater, mop the floors, clean the popcorn machine, bathrooms get done, dusting, windows... Everything.
Well, no wonder it always looks so nice.
Yeah.
When I go into the Panada Theater. That crew started a while ago.
Yeah, I think 2000.
Yeah.
Probably 2021 or so, right near the end of COVID. We were just starting it up.
And is it still the same, more or less, the same group of people?
Yeah, it is. We've had a couple of additions, but we're very snobbily elite there.
I see.
We're a group of people that work really well together and, you know, kind of like the Navy SEALs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So it's, it's an elite group and you're nothing until there's some attrition or something. You won't be opening up any new slots.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. we're all getting older, so eventually,
there'll probably be some sort of retirement ceremony for somebody and then there'll be a new slot open up on the cleaning crew.
We have, much like the radio station, we've talked about having a boat in the flotilla. We never have, though. Probably because we're older and wiser. Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, that could be it.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Or perhaps it's cowardice, Scott.
Well, yeah.
We thought about that.
It's a thin line between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another thing you do at the Panetta Theater is help to promote, at least. And yeah. I believe, do you help to pick the movies?
That we had a movie committee a while back, mm-hmm. a few years ago, and movies have come and gone there. There used to be the Global Cinema. But we got on, again, thanks to Jim Healy, we got into the film committee and started working on films then. And then that mm-hmm. kind of fell away a bit, and we're bringing it back. We just recently had a survey online, which close to 300 people took. And we've been looking at what they're interested in and trying to work out some new programs and when would be good times to have movies and mm-hmm. bringing back matinees and that sort of thing. And we have some films going. We have a couple of films coming up this weekend on Friday and Saturday. And so I'm here to talk about those some.
Okay.
And
well, then let's do.
Okay.
The survey was pretty well responded to.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. It was a nice amount. I mean, one thing we were looking it over, and obviously people were interested in movies, which we figured since they're taking the survey, they would be. Mm-hmm. So, but it was very positive, some really good ideas. And Chris, who also was here at the station, mm-hmm. he's going to be reaching out to some of the people there and getting some more information. We're slowly working on fine-tuning it and figuring out how to put together another committee and how to choose movies and when to do them. So, yeah.
Okay. So who chose these movies?
These movies, the final pick was probably Caitlin. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Shook down there. She's one of the staff members down to Panetta.
Mm-hmm.
And but we had a list of some films, quite a few films we put out there, and then these mm-hmm. two came up as choices to do.
Cool.
The first one on Friday is going to be Hamnet, the movie from last year. It's kind of an imagined story of what might have inspired Shakespeare to write Hamlet. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife dealing with the grief of losing a son. And it was an excellent movie. One of the best movies I've seen in a long time. And let me get this actress's name right here. Jessie Buckley. That's mm-hmm. an easy one. She won an Academy Award for Best Actress, and she was just stunning in it. Just in it. And it's a beautiful story, well done, by the director who did Nomadland.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Chloe Zhao.
Uh-huh.
And just a very nice film. And I think people really enjoy it. If you saw it, you know how good it is, and you probably want to see it again. And if you missed it for some reason, I would definitely get down to the theater and see the story. It's the cinematography and the scenery is well done. And like I say, the acting is just amazing by everybody mm-hmm. in it.
Did you say she won, Jessie Buckley won the
Oscar.
Oscar, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, she is supposed to be quite good in that.
Yeah, she was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. When we left the theater, the people we were talking to, and
mm-hmm.
we were just blown away by her role in it.
Hmm.
And it just, yeah, it just, the film draws you in, and it's just, yeah, by the end of the film, you're just totally mm-hmm. immersed in it.
Well,
It's an excellent story, and it deals with a lot of grief, but it shows how to get through it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And a relative, I mean, it came out just but more or less 1 year ago is when it made its finally was first theatrically released, but didn't go wide until December, and then
yeah.
had a big run at the awards in the awards season. And
yeah, that's the odd thing they do with movies
uh-huh.
for the past quite a few years now, where they wait until the very end of the year to squeeze them in.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree that is odd.
Yeah, it used to be like, you know, during the summer you get a lot of releases and all, and they keep just pushing it out. And it's
mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if as you know, as time goes on fewer and fewer people are actually watching like the Oscars on TV.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're gonna start to lose that that status. Where everybody, because people want to wait until right before the Oscars till they release their movie. So it's mm-hmm, fresh
exactly.
in the Academy's mind. But
and then a lot of people, yeah, just mm-hmm. they don't get to see them yet. And a lot of people just wait to, I mean, there's so many different ways of seeing films now.
Mm-hmm.
Your devices and streaming at home. And
yeah.
Well, but yet the movie experience is starting to come back. A lot of people are starting to go out and see films at theaters, like The Odyssey, which came out a few months ago, was just drew a lot of people out to go see it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. I was one of those. Did you end up seeing that one?
Yes,
Scott?
I did.
Well,
wonderful film.
Your review? Yes, I thought it was.
Good. It was a lot of people would feel intimidated going and saying, "I don't know The Odyssey," but it was very relatable, understandable, and done. Besides being an epic story, obviously, it was a wonderful film. It was just good entertainment.
Mm-hmm. I tend to agree with you there, Scott.
It's going to be available later on in a few months. I think we'll probably try and get that in at the Panada sometime next year.
That'd be a great place to see it. The Panada is a great place to see. Well, it's probably my favorite place to see a movie. It's the Panada.
Old theaters are just wonderful to see movies in because. Mm-hmm. And just, seeing anything on the big screen makes such a difference.
And what can people see on Saturday?
Well, on Saturday is Perfect Days, which is a Japanese movie.
I've heard of this.
Have you?
I have, yes.
Well, that's fortunate.
I'm not that versed in what's going on in films currently, but for some reason this one, it's been getting a lot of great press, I guess.
It came out a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And I'm looking through my paperwork here, and it's just all a jumble. It got dropped, and, well, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Perfect Days, it takes place, it's following the simple life of a cleaner of toilets in Tokyo, which, of course, attracted members of the cleaning crew.
Uh-huh.
Outside his very structured everyday routine, he enjoys his passion for music and for books. And he loves trees and takes photos of them. And so he's a person who just enjoys life in the simplest way. And then some events happen that make him look at his life and share his views with, I believe it's a niece comes back into his life and helps her deal with things. And it's listed as a drama, but I think it's one of those dramas that, you know, can make you feel good, just in people, how people cope with day-to-day life, which, you know, I mean, like in these days, it's a stressful life, but it's been stressful pretty much as long as life's been going on. And this one's going to have subtitles, which is good for the people who have a hard time hearing it in movie theaters. Mm-hmm. I know Jim's a big fan of that.
He is, yeah.
And also it helps because it's in Japanese. And
that does help, a surprisingly
small amount of people in, say, Sandpoint actually speak fluent Japanese.
Yes. You never know.
Yeah.
Perhaps there are some Japanese
speakers. I think there's some.
Must be.
I haven't studied this. But I haven't seen this film yet, but I've seen the clips of it. It's beautifully photographed, just wonderful to look at. And over the trailer for it, it had Lou Reed's "Perfect Day," which is one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend people go out and see that one. I think they'll enjoy it, and I think it will leave them feeling good in the end, which is what you want a movie to do: make you think and leave you feeling good afterwards.
Do you have any movies coming up in the following weeks that you care to mention right now?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I could mention them, but there's nothing that we have scheduled. So I'd just be mentioning films that I'd want to see. And that's just, we haven't gotten a list really together. We're coming into, moving quickly into the holiday season. I know on Halloween, we're going to be having the Rocky Horror Show again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be well attended this year, I think.
It always seems to do well. And anybody out there who's going to go see that, please keep it clean. We literally still clean rice out from last year. It's a messy show, but people do enjoy it, and you know they go do the time warp again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there? I mean, other theaters show this film, especially around Halloween, but also all the time. There must be some theater cleaning techniques that people have developed for this. What about putting down newspaper or something?
Well, no, that wouldn't work. It started off as a midnight show years ago, and then you'd get a couple of people would start going up on the stage and dancing and stuff, and then what people started doing was just, they'd bring, like, newspapers in, And for the rain scene, when they're running to the castle, they'd put the newspaper over their head, and then there'd be squirt guns, which we don't allow water at the Canada because it is a historic theater.
Yes.
And then they just kept adding. I was surprised how many props they've added to this now. And over the past years, we go over the list they present us with at the cleaning crew, and we edit out things. We don't allow any of the food throwing because, you know, you don't want vermin and running around the theater. But people seem to have a good time with it, so we let them enjoy themselves. I was I grew up down in Hollywood, and I was lucky enough to go see the show live on Sunset Strip back when I was 18. I spent many a night there for some reason, so I've always been partial to that show instead. But it is excellent, and it I imagine it'll be a good turnout this year because unfortunately we lost Tim Curry just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's what I kind of had in mind. That I think this year will be an especially strong turnout. I would think, and nationwide probably. I will tell you that there's something coming up tonight at the Panetta Theater. Are you ready for it?
Well, yeah, more or less. Yeah, the Lemon Spoonful is going to be there. It's the band. It's one of the original members, the bass player, I believe. And it should be good. I mean, that was it's some great music. It's
let's see came out. I'm on panetta.org right now, and it looks like I'm still available. It's still possible to buy tickets. Is it? Yeah. Let's see. I can't tell what's.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is. I haven't heard that it's sold out yet. After I'm done here, I'm going to go down with my wife, and we're going to be setting up the green room for the band. They're healthy eaters, if that affects anybody's decision on whether or not to go. They fruits, vegetables, and a lot of water. So,
okay.
But yeah, it's good music. Even though it's not the original band, which is hard to do with older bands, it's like we couldn't get the Beatles to come in because, you know.
No.
Yeah. So it'll be a good time. Fun show. So if you want to go out and hear some nice music, I would definitely suggest that. And again, that's another thing about the Panettas. The sound there, the acoustics are just amazing.
Yeah. No, it's a great place to see a show, and I think the Lemon Spoonful will put on a good one. I'm going to play something by them right now. Jim, I think it was just on this past Monday, on Labor Day, he played like a very nice four-song set by the Lemon Spoonful. What a prolific group. They were really, have a lot of
Summer in the City
popular hits. Yeah. But this is one I'm going to play about people just trying to decide what they're going to do this weekend. How about that? We'll play Did You Ever Have to Make Up Your Mind? And then we'll talk a little bit more with Scott when we come back in just a couple minutes.
Did you ever have to make up your mind? And leave the other behind. It's not often easy and not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind? Did you ever have to
fight? Hi, it's Jack Peterson. I'm one of two staff members here at KRFY, and I'm also a volunteer broadcaster. The truth is, all of us on the air love making the KRFY morning show. It's the best part of the week, and the support that we get from our listeners is extremely appreciated. We know that you could be listening to anything right now, including well-paid professional entertainers. But you're choosing to listen to volunteers, community members, maybe your friends and neighbors, the people who make North Idaho the special place that it is. So you're already here with us. And here's the thing. Even relying on volunteers, this show costs money to produce, broadcast, and distribute online. In fact, making these recordings readily available, online and in perpetuity, is one of the biggest expenses as we look towards upgrading and maintaining KRFY.org and our presence on the internet. So if you haven't yet, and if you can swing it, we'd love it if you could chip in a donation. Literally any amount helps us keep this going. And if you want to make that a small monthly contribution that we don't have to bug you about every year, it helps us even more. So go to krfy.org/donate and maybe kick in a few bucks. We truly appreciate you listening. Stay tuned.
So many changes and tears you must hide. Did you ever have to finally decide?
We're playing music from 1966 on the morning show today. I'm Jack Peterson, and that's Scott McLongstreet across from me. We just heard the Lovin' Spoonful, who first hit the pop charts at in 1965, I believe. I'm reading about this right now. They hit in July 1965 with Do You Believe in Magic, and then seven consecutive singles reached the top 10 in the following 18 months, including that one, which hit number two. Daydream and you,
Summer
you
in the City.
Already, yep, Summer in the City, which hit number one.
Younger Girl.
Mm-hmm. Bear. Yeah, can you name them all, Scott?
I don't know.
There might be a prize. Well, anyway, they really came onto the scene and just exploded for that brief period of time, and then they disbanded in 1968.
Yeah, and then John Sebastian played at Woodstock
mm-hmm.
in his tie-dye outfit.
Mm.
He was he went overboard with tie-dye.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, apparently, as I mentioned, I grew up in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I didn't notice until later. He was just like one canyon over from where I lived.
Wow.
Doing tie-dye, living in a tent, living the hippie dream.
Cool.
Yeah.
How about that? And I'll play another one from 68 in a little bit before we go, I think. The Supremes reached, I think, number one on the singles charts this week in 66. 60 years ago this week, the Supremes were at number one with You Can't Hurry Love.
You just have to wait.
You just have to
love
wait.
Love don't come easy. It's a game of give or take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the one. So we'll make sure to play that.
Yeah.
And I also want to play something, just a short thing by Jim Isaac Chua, who's coming up also at the Panada Theater.
Yeah, he's coming up next week, I believe it is.
I'll tell you in just a second, because I know I have their...
Ooh, I can beat you.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, we do have another movie coming up. Let me see. He's coming up on September 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also End of the Lines on the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the piano band. We had our piano tuned just about a month ago.
Okay.
There's a beautiful grand piano that they hide up on the stage.
Yeah.
I worked there for a long time before I realized it was back tucked underneath.
It's like in
closed
there.
In a box back mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. You also have another movie coming up.
Friday, September 18th, we have The Majestic, which I'd forgotten about. It's not that good one. It's Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blacklisted 1951 Hollywood screenwriter named Peter Appleton. Gets amnesia after a car crash and is mistaken for a small California town for Luke Trimble, a local World War II hero missing in action. It helps reopen the town's movie theater before the past catches up with them. So very fitting for the Panada, which is we're coming mm-hmm. up on our 100-year anniversary mm-hmm. next year. And we're fixing it up and trying to keep it going for another 100 years. So, yeah, The Majestic should be a fun movie and inspirational, I think, for people to say, hey, how can I help?
Yeah. It seems like, it's about a movie theater. And that's going to be an interesting one. I remember when that came. I haven't seen it either, but I remember when it came out. I think that was Jim Carrey's first big departure from being Mr. Comedy.
Yeah,
I think
that was a hard departure for him.
It took him a few tries.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean he did some great stuff, but they always just kept thinking, well, he's uh-huh. a comic in this movie,
right?
And it's like no.
Yeah, I think The Truman Show came out earlier, but that's still more or less a comedy drama. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, that was kind of where he kind of showed, that he could do more than just comedy, but still very comic performance. And this is, this one is more or less a romantic drama with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, and I believe he's Canadian, too, isn't he?
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. So, yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he's a Canadian. Okay. Let's see. Where were we? Well, we're reaching the end of our time together here, Scott. I want to mention.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we have a. Actually, Mr. Chua sent us a recording of his. Of his playing, and you can also find his recording, his recordings online if you want. But this one's special because he sent it to us.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so we can play a very short one by him, or rather than play one of the longer pieces, since we are so close to the end of our show. Let's see. It's coming. How's your September going here, Scott? Let me ask you that. Are you ready for this transition? I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm always surprised how it just, you hit September and it's just, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, we're moving into fall weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying it. I'm ready for it. Summer was a little smoky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of folks from other places come to visit us here, which is always nice, but it's nice to see them go. And that's another thing we're going to have on Saturday with the regatta, is the sacrificing of a tourist.
That's right. Yes, the traditional sacrificing of a tourist at the end of the summer season. That'll be, yes, this Saturday. At the Sand Creek Regatta. Well, I'll play this one by Jim Isaac Chua, who's coming up at the Panada Theater on the 25th. He is playing as a benefit for the Panhandle Habitat for Humanity, who can, of course, use all the help that they can get. So if you go and see this world-renowned pianist, proceeds from your ticket will go to the Idaho Panhandle Habitat for Humanity, which since 1991 has worked towards a simple vision that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home.
That seems reasonable.
Seems like. Okay, I'll play just this little bit of music, and we'll be back for just another couple of minutes to wrap up our show and remind people of what's coming up this weekend. Here he is, Jim Isaac Chua, performing the Prelude in B-flat minor, opus 28, number 16. Okay. There it
wow.
is. Yeah, just a minute long. He performs much, much longer pieces of music as well, but I just wanted to play that one because it's nice and short.
Yeah.
We
could probably learn that on piano, I think. It's short enough.
Would think so. Yeah, it's short enough that you could probably, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Have you ever played a piano, Scott?
Yes.
Oh.
I played the piano. I haven't played it well, but
okay.
I'm not musically talented. I used to have a piano and just mm-hmm. play around on it. Nice. I enjoyed it, but
uh-huh.
other people would stare at me.
Do you ever stop by the music conservatory and
I have,
peck away at
I've tinkled a little bit on the low pianos there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you know, okay.
Can't walk by something that makes noise without imbibing the noise, I think, yeah.
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 Well, we're about done here on The Morning Show. Thanks for joining us on this unusual Thursday morning. Tomorrow, tune in for the news at 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll have North Idaho News of the Week. As usual, Will Love is back to his usual position as a teacher at Sandpoint High School, so won't be the co-host of that show. But fortunately, Chris Bessler is back in good health, I'm told. So we'll have him here and a local reporter probably to talk about some news in the Panhandle Health District, but we'll see about that.
That's the latest reader you have there, isn't it?
I have the latest reader right here. That's right. Yes. And there are, let's see, tune in next Tuesday, by the way. Next Tuesday night, it is.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderé.
Sure enough, 88.5 Ponderé. Next Tuesday is our monthly Little Live Radio Hour, where we have Ron Green. It's free admission if you want to come down at 7 p.m. to the Hive. Ron Green from Spokane, Washington. This will be a great one. He's a singer-songwriter. Hard exactly to describe him other than come on down and see him. It's going to be great. He's played in Sandpoint sometimes with a trio, sometimes solo, but it's been a little while since we've had him up here, so it'll be good to see Ron Green again. And we're actually starting that show with the vocal scholarship winner from this year's festival at Sandpoint. They give out annually. They give out scholarships to students in the performing arts for them to pursue future musical education or musical endeavors. And part of that scholarship award is that they get to perform at the festival at Sandpoint on the big stage in front of people.
I've seen that a few times.
Now, this year, this vocal performance by the scholarship winner was scheduled for the grand finale.
Oh.
It was canceled.
Yeah.
So we have got her to come in, and I believe she's going to open the show and play a song or sing a song. So you can, if you missed it on... when you miss the grand finale at the festival, you can come and see her at that time. Should be good.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget with all this stuff with the festival that is its main cause, is music for the children.
That's right. And her name is Araya Glines, by the way. She is, I believe she graduated from Forest Bird Charter School last spring.
Oh.
Yeah. And there you go. That will be very good on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the evening. And thanks for listening to the morning show. We're going to play Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix starting off. After that, we'll do The Supremes, which was at number one on this date in 1966 with You Can't Hurry Love. And I think we'll play a little Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit as well, which broke through and announced that band to the world on this date in 1991, 35 years ago.
Probably wasn't 66.
35 years ago, 91. And it was, Smells Like Teen Spirit was released. Okay, Bird Note. Scott, thanks so much for coming in and saving me from an hour of loneliness here on the radio.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad I could cheer up your day and share things with the public.
You'll be... on the air this Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. I'll be back.
Okay. Any plans?
Going to play music. I'll play some Don Sebastian. And, some other stuff.
Cool. I heard you play the White Stripes Back to School song on last Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I like that one, yeah.
Yeah, me too. We're going to be friends or whatever the official title is. Okay. Here we go. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderé.